This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Doctrine of Truth. We want you to enjoy, sit back, relax, and be enlightened by the true word of God. With your host, Bishop Algie B. Poole, Jr.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome again to Doctrine of Truth. I'm your host, Bishop Poole. We're here again talking about the resurrected Christ, talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And where there's no resurrection, there's no confession, there's no healing. Gospel according to John, 24th chapter. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for our blessing. Thank you, Lord, for stretching out your hand of deliverance upon us, healing us and delivering us. Let the revelation of your word sink down in our heart. Oh God, to our listeners, heal and deliver this resolution and as well as this resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Looking upon St. Luke, 24th chapter, the witnesses of Christ. We know we have continued a little bit, amen, about the gospel according to Luke, out of the four gospels. Dr. Luke was speaking concerning, amen, about the body of Christ, and all of them was terrified and afraid when Jesus came through the wall. He had that glorified body, and they was concerned that things had changed when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. And when the dead rise, people concerned, because you know at the funerals, pastors and elders, amen, when we do the final service for a family member or a member, we say it from earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. And in the scientific way, many are thinking they never heard of anyone has came from the dead. Amen. Lazarus did so, but he continued to die again, because death is just a transportation for God's people to the heavenly realm of the new life. So what we have is John, part of the Gospel of Luke, talking about how they was all terrified. They was sitting around eating boar fish, amen, and they was eating honeycomb, and they were concerned that he was a spirit. Jesus said, "No, give me some of this food you eat in here." And he gave a piece of fish, amen, a piece of honeycomb. He said, "You know, spirits don't eat like this." So he giving us a glimpse of our new body and our new life, amen, of this image God made in the beginning of time, not going to change. Genesis 2, amen, and 1. So it's not going to change. God made the body. So the body is very, very, very important. That image is very important to God. Your image will not change if you become a Christian in Jesus Christ. So now we're going to have my wife, Sister Terry, amen, to read a portion again, St. Luke 24, out of the King James Bible, 44th verse through the 49, Sister Terry.
Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." And verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
It is written in scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. For those that are fighting against, amen, you don't need the Old Testament. But Jesus clarified here, amen, and Luke, Dr. Luke recorded it, amen, that Jesus came in the scriptures. What was written of him, he must suffer. Christ being anointed, he must suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance means, amen, that God forgive you of your sins, for God forgive you whatever you learn at the beginning against him, the actions, the things that you've been doing, you find out that was wrong. So you say, well, you know, Lord, forgive me. And that sin will be removed. Remission of sin. Remission, amen, water baptism, amen, is about removal. Ceremony is about removing of sins. Amen. Remission, removing of sins. Amen. This shall be from the pulpit. Amen. From the streets. Amen. For all men and women of God, to let people know old things are passed away. That's old. Well, you know, I used to gamble. That's old. Oh, you know, I lied. Is that old? That's old then. Old things are passing away, Paul said. Behold, all things becoming new. So repentance, you confess it and you stop doing the old things. That's repentance. You show in your heart, amen, you understand, amen, the message. Amen. The message must come first. Amen. The messages must come first that Jesus Christ, amen, he is the Christ, that what you was doing is wrong. And now you understand and you've heard it. And you must understand that you must have to hear the word of God. You have to hear the good news. It's good news. It's good news. You don't have to be Romans 8. Amen. I mean, condemnation always on your heart. Paul said, you're not condemned anymore. Amen. Because God has forgiven you. You got to forgive yourself. And how that come? By hearing the message of God. The good news that God will forgive you. And it's all about God's salvation anyway. It's all about God going to be with God heaven. Amen. Paul has spoken that. And Paul has presented that in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and he was speaking to Israel, amen, and he was saying, in that first verse, brethren, my heart desire and pray to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's common. People have their own way, as a man thinketh, Proverbs say in his heart, so is he. You started your own, people start their own religion, they start their own groups, and they will get a lot of people following because they feel, well, a crowd can be wrong. Crowds can be wrong. You can run to the wrong message. It can be the wrong message. The fourth verse, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believe. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring down Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Mr. Poole, Mother Poole, you have a comment concerning what you have heard. Well, you know, we go out witnessing, talking to people. what you've heard. Yes.
While the word of faith, if it's in your heart, you don't have any problem releasing it. When you're questioned about it, or when someone seems to be lost to you, and you know deep down in your heart that Jesus is the answer to all that we go through. So when we see the people, like we watched some movies, and the people that have been going to church, but their friends don't know, that's not good. Because the will of God is for you to tell everybody about Jesus.
Man.
So if you, in here, Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, that means go around and tell people.
Man.
Not just tell yourself and keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to let other people know. Mm-hmm. If you're the only one on your job that knows for God I live, for God I die is in you, then you're not doing the will of God. Mm-hmm. If you're the only one of your friends that go to church and you talk and you don't say anything about how your friends should gather with like-minded people, how are these your friends? How are you being effectual? See, if you don't say anything, you're not affecting your circle to come to Jesus. Everybody that knows that Jesus lived, died, and God raised him from the dead should be willing to tell it and not be ashamed. We passed out a track and a devotional to the service rep. That's what I'm going to call them. I like that better. The service rep at Dunkin' Donuts. And he said, oh, yes, I have these books. And I have this word, and he patted on his chest, and that made us feel so good.
Amen.
Because sometimes we give them to people, and they just go, okay, thank you. So, you know, you have to, when you're sharing Jesus, you share him, and you be excited about it, and the people will be excited to receive it, and they'll run on with it. But you must run on and tell. You can't keep it to yourself. You're not doing the will of God if you don't tell people that you know Jesus lives because he lives in you and Jesus is real.
Amen. Confession is so important. This is what Paul was saying in Romans 10, amen, the ninth verse. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. There it is again. From the dead thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we think, we realize, confession is not important. Yes, it is very important to God. That's why he said in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, amen, the 21st chapter concerning unbelievers, amen. If you don't believe, amen. How we know if you don't believe, but you do believe by what you say from in your mouth, because you should be saying it from your heart. All liars will have their part. If you're saying, oh, I love Jesus, I care, but you're not doing anything, you're not being a good believer, amen, it's because it's not coming from your heart. Amen. You're just lying. All liars will have their part in the lake. So if you confess a wrong confession, false confession, amen, it condemns you forever. Paul said about confession, Apostle John said about confession, he's also, for, he said, 1 John 1:9, he was saying, if you have done something wrong, especially in the body of Christ, and we living in this dispensation, in this era, amen, the end time, with so many things that are happening, amen. He said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If you know, amen, they caught you wrong in the world expression, Amen. And you lost your religion. You say lost your religion. That's a nice way. And you said something against your brother. Amen. And you say, well, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Tell your brother the model prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us of our transgression and forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And you confess it. You don't have to go out and sell, amen, your cow, your tractor, amen, your motorhome to prove to God that you repented. Amen. You confess. Now, that's not the action. The action is you don't do it anymore. But there are some religion talking about, amen, you, if you're going to repent to God, amen, you got to crawl on your knees to the temple, bloody up your knees, amen, show your repentance. That's not what God's saying as a true believer, as a Christian, amen. And we know that there are many have false doctrine. Paul was talking about, amen, doctrine of devils in the end time. All right, Sister Fuller.
And we were speaking previously that some organizations, religious organizations, labeled as Christian and right. saying they have Christianity,
right.
they don't even believe in Jesus.
Amen.
So if you don't believe in Jesus, you are not a follower of Jesus, then how are you Christ-like?
Mm-hmm.
God has given us enough to know the difference and not to believe that. But we, like he just said, if you're going to follow, you're going to choose who you're going to follow. But don't say Christian
mm-hmm.
when you don't believe in Jesus. That's just the bottom line. So here's a few that we read before. Under them, this Jesus. Jesus is not God. Before he lived on earth, he was Michael, the archangel. Jehovah made the universe through him. On earth, he was a man who lived a perfect life. After dying on a stake, not a cross, he was resurrected as a spirit. His body was destroyed. Jesus is not coming again. He returned invisibly in 1914 in spirit. Jesus lives. Here's another one.
All right.
Jesus is a separate God from the Father Elohim. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven and is the elder brother of all men and spirit beings, including Lucifer. His body was created through sexual union between Elohim and Mary. Jesus was married. His death on the cross does not provide full atonement for all sin, but does provide everyone with resurrection.
Amen. We got that research from the
Christianity,
Rose,
cults and religions.
Christianity, cults and religion.
Rose what? Publishing.
Were
seventh Rose, edition.
Yeah, Rose Publishing, the seventh edition. Anything you know your family or relatives or cousin involved in, the Bible told us in believers in Matthew 7:7, seeking you'll find, knock and the door be open. We know it's a big great era when people begin to worship things and images, amen, and holidays, especially this holiday coming up, amen, for resurrection. It's the highest time in Christianity. Amen. Jesus rises from the dead. We recognize that. And when people begin to, other religion throws in, amen, deceptive statues and animals, amen, before and confuse the body of Christ, especially the young believers. The young believers, they will go for the eggs and bunnies and trees and stars and amen. All these images, amen, because they're just young in Christ. And they don't realize, they know the deception Jesus talked about. Amen. How a deep deception can be. And it can confuse your confession. Paul is saying, amen, about your confession. If you heard the message that Jesus rose from the dead, he's alive now. Now faith. Now Christ is alive. Now, amen. Not tomorrow, not next year. No, he's now still living. Amen. And when the message is good news, that whatever you in, God say, I'll be with you. If he took the world out, some of us would not be saved. So thank God for his mercy and his kindness. He waited on us. So it's our responsibility now to carry on the good news, to spread the good news to others. And Paul was saying in Romans 1:16, that he was not ashamed to right. tell people of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell people in a nice way.
Right.
In a nice way, in love. That listen, brother, my sister, amen, I was in error, and I want you to know, amen, I don't want you to be in error, because you can lose your soul forever. Eternally, you can lose your soul. Amen. So what this discussion about, amen, confession is for salvation now. Salvation is right now. You can say it, Paul says, is right. Jesus died for salvation, amen, over 3,000 years ago. Might be debate on what how many years, amen, but it's now, it's ready now. It's ready now. You go to one of your favorite drive-thrus, amen, you pull up there, and it's in about 1 minute, you got your food. It's already been prepared. But Jesus already been prepared. Your salvation is ready now. You know how to get prepared. You don't have to order number one, number two, amen, or whatever, or number five, or call in and they get it ready ahead of time. No. God got your salvation now. If you believe it and you can say it from your heart, Lord, I accept you, amen, as the Christ, amen, the crucified one. Salvation is ready also. We notice in James 5:5-16, and so this is important. Amen. Your confession is, James was saying to the church, amen, James 5:16, and it's also important for the elders of the church that they're really true, been proven and examined that they are true believers. Amen. By faith, amen, the elders believe a good report. Amen. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, amen, is by faith. Amen. They proved out. Amen. These elders stand on God's word. So James said in the 5th chapter of James, he said, 13th verse, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. If any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You know, it's not a prayer, Lord, I hope you'd save him. I hope you'll heal him. I hope this will happen.
Right.
No, this is not a hopeless. No, this is a positive prayer. Save the sick. And watch this now. Watch this now. You're praying for save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, prayer, not only for sickness, but also for sins, they shall be forgiven him. Through that prayer, the elders, amen, the church has that power God has given, amen. The church is a good example of the living Christ. That's where the church started. Jesus started the church. In the beginning, God created the family, marriage. When Jesus came in and set up another ark of safety, the church. And in the 16th verse, said in the 5th chapter of James, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, confession is already here for salvation. Confession is already here for healing. You can tell your friend, I did something wrong, I'm sorry. I didn't know what to do. Amen. Pray with me. Pray with me. And I tell the elders, those that are real elders, amen, that pray for you and say, go in peace. Like Jesus told the lady caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. So prayer of faith, not only good for sins, but is great for healing. Those are together. When you confess your fault, amen, not only can be saved, amen, but at the same time, you can save the sick. God can raise you up. But at the same time, you can be forgiven. You be forgiven. Sister Poole, you have any thoughts on that?
I read before that if you believe that Jesus lives because he lives in you, then you are saved and you are healed. Because Jesus is a healer. He went around healing before he went to the cross.
Amen.
He went to the cross for salvation and redemption. Mm-hmm. So when you wrap your mind around all of that, and then you think that you can continue to sin, if you think about it, whatever you're doing to the inside of yourself, you're also doing it to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that really blew my mind. And it had me to meditate on many scriptures to maintain that thought. That's how you stay saved. Because once saved, always saved. We already know. You have to be staying saved and staying healed. We are a miracle because the way God made our body and everything that we do to it or put in our mouths to destroy it, we're not worshiping. Like you say, the temple, our body is a temple. Worship is a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. Praise is a lifestyle. We must be living for God each and every day in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. We got to be concerned where the soul is going to go. You must be living now to live again in heaven. If you stay sinning or you stay one foot in and one foot out of Jesus, you won't see him in heaven. We want everybody's soul to be saved. Read the scriptures. No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm your friend.
Acts chapter 10:38. See how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You don't hear too much about that. Doing good is a part of the gospel, is a part of Christianity. Amen. James 1 and 16 or 27, talking about you seem to be a Christian. Amen. You do something good. And healing all those oppressed of the devil. Healing all those oppressed of the devil. Those have mental problems and situation. God heal you. You can just say, Lord, help me in this situation now. Lord, help me in my thinking. Help me in my problems right now. Confess it with your mouth. Be honest with your mouth. You don't have to be on television, radio, in public. Amen. You can go in your favorite car, your home, your bathroom, on a break, or whatever. And talk to the Lord. You don't have to be no 10-hour prayer. Be honest from your heart. Affirmative prayer. Honest prayer. Amen. For God was with him. God is with us. He come to us and he take care of us. We thank you for this little time today. And we appreciate you wherever you might be. Amen. God bless you. And have a Jesus real day.
Thank you so much for your time today. We hope it was well spent. Joshua 1:8 says, read and meditate on the word day and night, and be careful to do what is written in it, and your way will prosper and be successful. We want you all to be successful in the word of God. If you would like to send your prayer request or questions, they're welcome at thedoctrineoftruth@gmail.com. And if it has been a blessing to you and you would like the true word of the gospel to continue to be spread all over the world, We welcome your donations at P.O. Box 2338, Tallahassee, Florida 32316. God bless you.